Our gospel lesson is the very beginning of the parable of the sower. It's our Lord's telling of that parable. I invite you to stand for our gospel reading. From the Gospel of Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to Christ. While we remain standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon. From Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23, the living and active word of the Lord. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a time. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he is scandalized. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But the one who receives seed on the good ground is the one who hears the word and understands, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing. May we hear and receive and bear fruit to the glory of your name. We pray this through Jesus our Lord, and amen. You may be seated. Well, as we know, Matthew's gospel has five teaching sections in it. We've come here to the middle teaching section of those five, the third teaching section in Matthew's gospel. This is the center teaching section, the central teaching section. This is a series of parables in Matthew chapter 13, and we see again that there is one here, Jesus, who is greater than Solomon. Greater than Solomon. The parable of the sower is the first of seven parables in this chapter. It is the longest of the seven, and it is likely the most well-known. Our Lord presents this parable to the gathered crowd. But he says that it will only make sense to some. The message of the parables are concealed from some and revealed to others. The parables are riddle-like. They are, according to Psalm 78, verse 2, dark sayings. They are, according to this passage, mysteries of the kingdom. The sower is casting seed upon the ground. The sower is casting seed upon the dirt. The seed is the word which is proclaimed. The soil or the dirt happen to be the people, the hearers. Peter Lighthart pointed out very succinctly that as our first parents, as Adam particularly, was made from dust, so it is fitting that dirt should represent people receiving the word. But as our passage goes on, we will hear, we will see that it's as if some hearers have dirt in their ears. Some have ears and they cannot hear. So Jesus begins his explanation of this parable with these words, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower." It's not enough to have ears. We're supposed to do something with this parable. The sower went out to sow, and four soils are present. Someone went out casting seed, and the seed landed on different kinds of dirt. In summary, some of the seed lands by the wayside, on the footpath, outside of the garden, outside of the growing area. The seed seems to bounce around there. Other seed lands in or upon rocky ground. That is dirt filled with stones, stony soil. Other seed lands on some pretty fine soil, but the soil is filled with weeds, and there's some choking going on. Other seed lands on soil that is cleared and ready. It is weed-free. It is prepared. May the Lord give us ears to hear this parable. The seed upon the wayside, the side of the garden, the footpath. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, then the wicked one, the evil one, comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one who receives seed on the wayside. One verse, verse 19, the seed by the side of the way. This could be anyone in particular. It's singular. When anyone, when a particular one, when you or me or that person or he or she, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom. Note that hearing is occurring. What do they hear? What's the message that they heard? Our Lord is clear. They are hearing the word of the kingdom. What? Even those who, the seed is on the footpath, on the outside of the garden, what are they hearing? They're hearing the word of the kingdom. The message is right there. We could say the message is present. The message is not just right there, the message is right. The message is true. There's no problem with the word. There's no problem with the seed. You cannot say, look what the seed didn't do. The hearer does not grasp it. But there's going to be some grasping. The hearer doesn't seize the word. The hearer doesn't grab the word. But there's going to be a grabbing that occurs. There's no understanding with this hearer. This hearer is sitting there, and as it could be described this way, sitting there with a dinner plate glaze. Still, possibly, there seems to be a fairly good place. They're in a place where the word is present, though the word of the kingdom is present. This is in a pretty good place. However, the word is bouncing around and not entering. The word of the kingdom is not all that is right there. The word of the kingdom is not all that is present. The wicked one, the evil one, is also present, pane ras. The evil one is also present. The word of the kingdom is present, and so is the wicked one. That's very interesting. The wicked one is present and active around the word of the kingdom. Fit that into your doctrine of the devils. Fit that into your Satanology. The word of the kingdom is present, and so is the evil one. The evil one was present during our Lord's temptations. What else was present during our Lord's temptation? The word of the Lord. Has it not written? Has it not been said? Has it not been written? Who was there? The accuser. Our Lord also taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from paneros, the very same word used here. Who's lurking? Who's present? Whenever the word is present in preaching, in teaching, whenever the word is being scattered, here, right now, at Bible studies, when you open the word, and there are some present who are just not getting it, they're not getting it, that does not mean that there's nothing going on. There's actually quite a bit happening. According to this passage, we know who or what is lurking. The word is present. And notice who is active. The sower has scattered seed. There's activity. There's one by the side, hearing but not understanding. There's no activity there. But note who is or what is active. The evil one is active, grabbing, seizing, snatching it up. The word of the kingdom, according to our Lord's teaching here, somehow landed in the hearer's heart. Because our Lord says, the evil one snatched away what was sown in his heart. How did that happen? The wayside hearer is marked by hearing and not understanding. Inactivity and inattentiveness. And when that's the case, our ancient foe is ready to do away with the word of the kingdom. To not apply yourself to disengage is more dangerous than you might think. These wayside hearers, these footpath hearers, may one day look up and look around from their slumber, wipe the glaze off, and notice that the word is gone. It disappeared. It was snatched away. Note, it is not the fault of the word. Still, you could hear these people of the footpath say, you know what, it didn't make any sense anyway. I was there. I tried. It didn't make any sense. So it is with those who hear and receive the word of the kingdom on the hard-packed footpath. The seed in the stony soil, two verses here. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, for he has no root in himself, but endures only for a time. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The seed is received. The seed was delivered. The seed landed. Who is this? This is the one who hears the word and immediately responds. No doubt. Right away. No delay. I will follow you wherever you go. When can we get started? This was an immediate receiving of the word. This person was determined, resolute, resolved. The one here who received the word didn't just receive the word with resolve. This one also did it with rejoicing. It's as if they would have been saying this. This is the greatest thing ever. To the viewers. Now, if you were viewing this, you're hearing our Lord tell this parable story, and you're considering this. To the viewers, all this looks pretty good. That's fine. Who could argue? Who could argue? You could almost hear people coming up to this hearer and saying, We love your response. We love your passion, your enthusiasms, we love your joy. Wow. Who could argue? However, there are concerns. We're dealing here with a giving and a receiving. We're dealing with a planting and a growing. We're dealing with the marathon of a harvest, not the freeze-dried flash of a sprint. We are looking for steadfastness, not shiny starting blocks. Your enthusiasm is great, a concerned person might say, but so far it's just you. We don't know if there's anything more to you, if there's any depth. It perhaps seems like a bit like an emotionally driven person. There's flash and dash and fever and crash, but there, the emotions were there. The text is very clear, yet this one has no root in himself. The text also says this one endures only for a while. The Greek language actually says for a time or to a time, endures only to the time. In Luke's gospel, this very same parable is presented. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. And there our Lord says that this hearer believes only for a while. We're done. Was it all about them? A passionate start, but rootless, nothing to keep them going. We can call them Mr. or Mrs. Momentary. But they were immediate. What shows up? Tribulation shows up. Persecution arises. Tribulation. We could consider this tribulation kind of a general disruption, some kind of tribulation. Even say the Greek word is somewhat of a tribulation. Some kind of something's disturbing things. Persecution, that's more precise, more specific. That's a specific attack. But note, tribulation or persecution arise because of the word. The very same word that they immediately received with joy. We love the word. Yes! Same word brings with it tribulation or persecution, and immediately they stumble. They're scandalized. What? You started well, but that's not what I signed up for. Simon Peter writes to the various churches scattered throughout the dispersion. He says, you've been born again to a living hope. And you know what else brings that comes along with this living hope? Trials. Trials. And this is what Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice, you who are kept by the power of God, ready for a salvation that's going to be revealed at the last time. There's going to be some time in this, 1 Peter chapter 1. It's going to take some time. It's not like that. It's an ongoing marathon. You are kept by the power of God, and in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, a little bit of time, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That's a difficulty. That's a disruption. This comes with the confession. He goes on, so that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not all for you in the moment. There's this ongoing. I recently, in preparation for the upcoming Bible studies, read an article from the Gospel Coalition. And by the way, what is it that when we find someone who resembles this soil, or maybe we've been tempted to resemble this soil ourselves, you know what, this is great, I'm in it, I'm ready to go. And then a little bit of difficulty comes along. Our difficulties are minor, but there are still people that are ready to go, you know what, I'm done. I'm checking out. I didn't expect to have a conflict with someone else in the body of Christ. What's it showing? It's showing what you're made of. This article from the Gospel Coalition, January 2019, the countries where it is most dangerous to be a Christian, is reflecting over the past year. Here are just some statistics to show us how blessed we are and how we ought to remember our brothers and sisters in the Lord who are truly undergoing a testing of their faith. Will they endure? Will they persevere? What kind of soil are they? One, this Joe Carter writes, one in every nine Christians in the world lives in an area or in a culture in which Christianity is illegal, forbidden, or punished, according to the latest report on global persecution by Open Doors USA. One in every nine Christians. I could just do this right now. 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1. We could just. It's what it's like for our brothers and sisters in the world. He goes on and gives some statistics. During the World Watch List 2019 reporting period, in the top 50 countries that face persecution, 1,266 churches or Christian buildings were attacked. 2,635 Christians were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. Over 4,000 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons. On average, that's 11 Christians killed every day for their faith. That's not what I signed up for. Well, the soil reveals this. Some of you are in college, you're going off to college. You're going to find a general disruption, some tribulation. You might even find some persecution. You actually believe that book? You actually abide by those old standards of sexuality? You actually believe that God instituted the family? You actually believe that there was a giraffe's neck out of the window of the ark? And then you're going to hear this. Simple, low voltage. What about at work? You know what? What do you want to do? Who are you to listen to anyone? What about your influences? Constant pull, constant tug, shaping you, conforming you. Don't go there. That's fusty. By the way, this particular soil, this particular situation, when tribulation or persecution arises, you know what this passionate person who just grabbed onto the word with joy, there's a ready excuse in this as well. And there's the excuse. It can't be me. It's not me. It's that situation out there or what these people did to me. I'm passionate. You can't say that I didn't try and give it my all. Because there's always something to point to. This is the one who hears and receives the word surrounded by stones. Verse 22, now the one who receives seed among thorns. This is the one who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. This one received the seed, received the word. This one hears the word, hearing the word. By the way, the hearing in this passage is not a moment. Oh yeah, I happened to be there and I heard that one. This is an ongoing hearing. This is somebody sitting there looking like they're there. Please note, this soil is productive in some sense. It is bringing forth a crop of some sort, because at the end, this one becomes unfruitful. There was an expectation of fruitfulness. What are you doing with the word you're hearing? What are you doing with the seed you're receiving? There is an expectation of fruitfulness. The cares of this world, according to one translation, as I read it in the original, this is the way I would phrase it. The anxieties of the age, it's singular. The anxiety of the age. The anxiety, singular, picket, of the age, of our day. That's the exact language in the original. The fretting of the moment. Whatever form it takes, however it shows itself, it could be the specific issue of the day. It's always there. It's the latest, most pressing, demanding topic, and the person says, I care. I care. And we all say, that's good, you should care. That's not the whole story here. The one side is the anxiety of the age. The other side happens to be the lies of riches or acquisitions or of placement or of position. It's the lies, the deceitfulness of such things. That too is important. Work. Show yourself to be in the image of God. Work and provide. Right. It is thought that when someone says, I am concerned about the anxiety of the age, and I am concerned about the matter of provision, that you can't say anything about that. You're not supposed to question that at all. You're not supposed to criticize such things if you're an other, if you're an outsider. If so, you're accused of being insensitive. You're unreasonable, uncaring. You're selfish. You don't care about these other things. These are, we are told, pursuits of good things. These are necessary matters, very important goals. But note what our Lord says. Such things choke the word. Doesn't say it chokes the person. Person's still busy. The person's still there, embracing the anxiety of the age, pursuing the deceit of riches. Now again, we're to care for one another. We're to provide for our family and our loved ones. Yes. But what happens here is this person shows their sophistication and the word becomes marginalized, choked out, marginalized, set off to the side, subservient to the anxiety of the age, which gets the priority. When all of a sudden someone says, here, this is the big concern. No, where's the word in this? And they'll say, I'm still concerned about the word. But, there's some expected growth to occur. However, what happens here is there's an entire crop of weeds that pop up. Excuses. We're good at excuses. Every one of us good at excuses. So here we are. The seed that fell on the footpath, it disappeared. I didn't get anything out of it anyway. The hearer among the stony soil, it's difficult. So the person got derailed. It's difficult. Here, the hearer among the thorns might say, but these are my passions. These are my desires. Well, our Lord ends with the seed upon good ground. But he who received seed on the good ground is the one who hears the word and understands, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Some, 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Remember, we're dealing with the marathon of a harvest here. We're not dealing with the flash, the freeze-dried flash of a sprint. This takes time. But you know what? We want everything in a microwave culture. Well, what's taking so long? So what do we have here? The seed word is received. The word is heard. And the seed word is understood. What's the result? Fruitfulness. But so much is the same. There's soil, there's dirt. The word seed is scattered, and every one of these soils is hearing. What is different? First of all, is understood, which is another way of saying that work is expected. Application, engagement, effort. Here there's no blaming of the word. Hey, where is the word? It's absent. It doesn't make any sense to me. Apply, work, effort. Hey, you know what? The word brought difficulties. Right. Have you ever considered that the word might do that? Or, you know what? The word actually is kind of getting in the way. Have you ever thought that the Lord is revealing your loyalties? What's different? There's an understanding, an application, an engagement. It takes work. What else is different? It's evident right here. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. And what's... Simply stated, you know what happened? The soil changes. There's a change to what's going on in the soil. Somebody could say, well, yeah, we're cranking out some weeds. Got a lot of stones here. You know, it just kind of bounced off over there. Fruitfulness, change, attentiveness is required, and weeds must be removed. How does your garden grow? Well, let's just, you know, it's so judgmental against the weeds. I'm going to let them stay there for a while. How does your garden grow? The weeds must be removed, and soil is to be made ready. For the word to be received and heard and understood, there are things that are not to be done. And until we get to the point, men and women and children, to say, no, we don't go there. We're not going to do that because I'm a hearer and a receiver of the word. There are certain things that ought not to be done. They must be avoided. Things we do not do, places we do not go, things we do not say because we're busy saying yes to other things. Fruitful. It made me immediately think of the fruit of the Spirit. How about that as a study point? You know what? I am not going to do that any longer. I have been lazy. I have been negligent. I have not cared for one another. So what I'm going to pursue is love. And you know what? I've been cranky and bitter. I'm going to pursue joy. And I have been a conflict monger. I'm going to pursue peace. Love, joy, peace, patience. You know what? I have had a hair trigger. I'm going to pursue patience. And you know what? I have been really fed up with, I'm going to pursue kindness. I'm going to weed the garden of my bitterness. And I'm going to start cultivating the plants of kindness and patience and peace and joy and love. What about goodness? I don't even know what good. Seek goodness. Follow the Lord. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Immediately comes to mind. Start there. You know what this does? Doing this opens the door to attentiveness so that you're no longer sitting there going, it doesn't make any sense. Doing this shows perseverance amidst trials. The Lord told me this was going to happen. Patience. This also shows the maturity of priorities. You know, I want to get ready to end this sermon. I've wanted to walk through our Lord's teaching on the parables. But what I'd like to do is to give you some tips for tending the soil. Tending the soil. Soil by the wayside. You know what you should do? You should start praying for understanding. And while you pray for understanding, be on guard against our ancient foe. Get ready for the seizing. Be on guard against our ancient foe. There's a warfare going on even now. Even when you're sitting there going, get ready. One of my regular prayers is that the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, will allow me to retain that which I have heard and read. That the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, will allow me then to recall that which I have heard and read. You know what happens? All of a sudden, during a sermon, I find myself listening. Even to bad sermons, supposedly bad sermons, because the Word is there. I find myself, that's fascinating. Tending the soil. Start there. Next. Those amidst the stones and the rocks ought to realize that this is one of the ways that the Lord shapes us into maturity. You know what? We all of a sudden squabble about a difficulty. What is the Lord teaching you through the difficulty? I never would have expected that to have occurred. I never would have expected that to happen. You know, and I was thinking about this years ago, back in the days when I played high school baseball in Lake Havasu City, Arizona, boiling hot in the summertime, sometimes playing baseball in 122 degrees, you're thinking, wow, that's hot. They had tended to the desert turf so that we could have a tolerable baseball field. And I was thinking about this as I went through this. What happens, that's some stony soil. I'll tell you, that's some stony soil, rocky soil. They worked on the ball field there, and at the time I was an infielder, shortstop, third baseman, and if there was a rock, a stone in the infield, and you get this ground ball coming to you, there's such a thing as a crazy hop, bad bounce is what they'd call it. Our coaches would actually teach us to keep our free hand up here. So we're supposed to be down here to get the grounder, but if they took a bad bounce, we're supposed to, we got these incredible reflexes. But a ground ball could hit one of those rocks, and next thing you know, it's in your face. And just pop. What we did every day after practice is the entire squad, varsity and JV, would stand on one foul line, and we would walk with our ball gloves, and we'd pick up rocks. We had to tend to the soil. We were tending to the soil. Do you know what that did? That gave us a greater appreciation for that ball field. It allowed us to focus. It allowed us to attend to things. It allowed us to work on form of how do we receive a ground ball, and then how do we position ourselves to throw that ball. Oh, that was tough, though. We're dead tired. It's 120 degrees. We're dripping. We want to get into the showers. Guys, we got work to do. Let's get about it. Among the stones. What about those among the thorns? How about being attentive to your priorities? Attentive to your priorities. What comes first? Here's a tip, or a couple of tips. Go to the mature and ask the mature. Go to the aged and ask the aged saints, what should I be most concerned about? I'm finding you know what's going on in your soul right now. You know what's going on in your distracted hearing because you're going, I've got the anxiety of the age. And I've got this clamor, pursuit of this. Go to the aged. Go to those who have walked steadily with the Lord for many years and ask them, what should I be focusing on now in my younger days? Go to the aged and ask them, what do you know now that you wish you would have known when you were my age? Teach me. Let me listen to your wisdom. Because right now, I'm all worked up over the anxiety of the age and over the lies of clamoring pursuit of this. Look around and ask, how do the godly behave? You're younger, look around to someone you respect. You're on your way. You're going to be the adults of this congregation in the future. You're going to be the senior adults of this congregation in the future. Ask yourself, how do the godly behave? Are they all fretting over what? I conclude with this. The seed is the same throughout. It's consistent. The soils are different. The seed is the word that is sent out and present and lands somewhere. The soils are the hearers. They are the people. Each one of the soils is said to have been hearing the word. There's some kind of hearing going on. There's some kind of nearness, some kind of proximity going on. But only one of the soils brought forth any change. What if you would have gotten rid of the rocks? What if you would have weeded it? What if you would have tilled up and expanded the garden? This parable is to be understood. Admit, hearing brings responsibility. You are to do something about what you hear. You are to do something about your soil. It is also to be understood that this parable exposes our tendency to blame other things, because you can always find an excuse. To begin with, the word cannot be blamed. May the Lord give us ears to hear, hands and feet to obey, to the glory of His name, and amen.